In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we read these words, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Hebrews chapter 11 records the lives of great men of faith of the Old Testament. And it does so in concise terms. The Hebrew writer here gives a very concise summary of the life, the great story of Noah and flood, and emphasizes the fact that he did these things by faith. And it records the lives briefly of a number of other great examples of faith, so that we too might learn to live by faith. We learn that the meaning of faith, we learn that we see examples of it being lived out in the lives of these people. And as we pointed out last week, a great meaning of faith is given here in this chapter, that without faith it is impossible to please God. These people were pleasing to God because they had this true type of faith that God seeks from us. To believe that God exists and to believe that He will come through for you when you put your life on the line for Him. In Cooperstown, New York, you find the Baseball Hall of Fame. And you can go and visit the Baseball Hall of Fame where Abner Doubleday lived, the inventor of the game of baseball. And you can walk through the halls and see the pictures and the sections of approximately 200 great players of the game of baseball from its beginning. And you can watch videos of them in action and see some of the replicas of mementos from their time in the game of baseball. But it's not the ability to play the game of baseball and to hit a baseball that makes one pleasing in God's eyes, that makes one a great person to be remembered for their life here on earth. It's living your life by faith that causes God to be pleased with you. And we learn the meaning of that. And we're told in the book of Hebrews how that Jesus is a greater high priest. He has given a greater sacrifice. He is a greater spokesman from God than any of those that have gone before. And it remains for us now, as we walk here on this earth, for us to live our lives by faith. And as we look at these heroes of faith, we see different aspects of how their faith was put into practice. And we see that Abel, by faith, brought a more excellent sacrifice to God than did Cain. We see that Enoch, because he lived by faith, walked with God and drew close to God in his life. And in that record of the Old Testament, that when you're reading down through there, every single time you come across that phrase, that he lived so many years and he died. And he lived so many years and he died. And then you come to Enoch and you read, and he walked by faith and he was not. And he did not see death, for God took him. And he obtained this, that he was pleasing to God. And so we come to verse 7, and it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. As we look at that, we see a great example of the meaning of faith. That he was warned of God by of things not yet seen. And yet he was moved with godly fear and he prepared the ark as God instructed him according to the word of God. And he became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. The true meaning of faith that was given in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as we think about faith and living our lives by faith, we're talking about things that God has spoken, God has promised, but we have not yet seen them. They have not yet become actual in our lives. We do them because God promises them to us, even though we cannot yet see them. That is faith. To put your hope, to put your trust in what God says, and live your life that way, even though no one around you else is living their life that way. You put your faith in God and listen and trust His Word and act upon that. That is the meaning of faith in our lives. There are two things that Noah believed. He believed, number one, that God had promised that a great flood was coming. And second, that if he would build an ark, he and his family would be saved. And on the basis of those two things, he lived his life by faith. He acted according to the word of God, and he became an heir of promise of the righteousness of God by his faith. That story of Noah is so succinctly summed up here by the Hebrew writer because the Hebrew people knew that story. That story in the book of Genesis covers four or five chapters of the book. It is a lengthy story, and it is well known to the Hebrew people. But in order for us to go back and really appreciate the story, we really need to go back and relive it as it was related there throughout the book of Genesis in Genesis chapter 6, where it begins. And the statement is made there that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And what was it that brought about this judgment from God? It was the wickedness of the earth at that time. Noah was an upright man living in a corrupt society, a corrupt culture of his day. In fact, it goes on to say there, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth and that he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Genesis chapter 6 first records the condition of the earth as it was in those days, that from the time of the creation of the Garden of Eden and God placing man and woman on the earth, society had turned away into sin and had deteriorated and corrupted itself through all the earth. The earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. That was what brought this judgment of God upon the earth that Noah was warned about. But the Bible tells us that in this world of corruption, there was Noah who was walking with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so we see that here in this world of corruption, that God looked down from heaven, and he saw one man who was living his life and walking righteously with God. And that ought to be an encouragement to you and to me. That sometimes we can be living in a world today and we can look around and we can see that the world is so full of corruption today that how could God even be aware of my effort to honor and worship and love Him? How could God even be aware of a small group of Christians gathering this morning in a place like this? And we read these words and we're encouraged to see that here was a world that was full of corruption and wickedness, so that every thought of the man's heart was evil towards God. We think we live in a pretty corrupt world today. It wouldn't hold a candle to things the way they were in Noah's day. And yet here was Noah, and he was living by faith, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that tells you and me that when we live by faith, even though the world is filled with wickedness, that God knows and sees your life, how you are living your life. And if you are living your life by faith, God is pleased with you. And you will be found righteous, and you will be able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. God is aware of His people here on this earth who honor and serve Him. He was a righteous man. He was blameless in his generation, and he walked with God. That is the same statement that is made about Enoch, where the Bible said that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Because after his son was born, he began to walk with God at the age of 65 years old. Noah walked with God, and he was righteous. And so that brings us to this warning of God that is given to Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, that God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." We don't know how God exactly spoke this warning to Noah, but it seems to clearly indicate that God came down and spoke these very words in the ears of Noah, so that he understood what God was saying, that he was planning to bring a judgment upon the earth, that the entire earth would be destroyed. The entire population of the earth would be destroyed. I'm sure if you were Noah living in that, and to hear a message like that, that you might be tend to have the skeptical thought that, like what is expressed in the book of 2 Peter, that it said that God gave the warnings, and yet there were scoffers in those days that said, well, all things have been continuing the way they were from the beginning, that, you know, there is not going, nothing like this has ever happened before. And do we really want to think that something is that bad ever going to happen? And so it would have been easy for Noah to just sort of slough this off and think, you know, is that even possible? What does that mean? And yet God gave him this warning that he was going to destroy the earth. But not only that, but notice what then God said to him. He said, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch." And what that word means, literally, is like a box or a chest. We think of the ark and we picture it today in the shape of a ship, the hull of a ship. But the actual word that was used here was the word an ark, which really means a box. And it's the same word that is later used when Moses was born and his parents decided to try to save him from the Pharaoh, and his mother built a little box and she covered it with pitch and she put the little baby in the ark and floated him in the banks of the Nile River, and his life was saved. But it refers to a box that would float. And so God told him, and he hasn't really explained anything at this point, what is going to happen. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And we don't know what gopher wood, what type of tree that was, if it was some type of a cedar tree or a redwood or some other type of hardwood that grew in that area, but make it of gopher wood and cover it within and without with pitch so that it will be waterproof. And this is how you shall make it, God said. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. Imagine Noah's reaction when he heard those words. This is a huge ship that God is talking about. And it would be one thing for God to say to Noah, Noah, build you an 8x10 box for you and your family to survive this flood that is coming. But God tells him that this is going to be 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. I'm going there from the, you know, the conservative estimate of what a cubit is believed to have been is the average distance from a man's tip of his hand's fingers to his elbow. This is approximately 18 inches. Some would say maybe 21 inches, but somewhere in between 18 and 24, you still come out with 450-foot box. And he goes on to explain to him that there are going to be rooms in it. Now, here is an interesting thing that has recently been built in Williamstown, Kentucky, the Creation Museum. The head of it is Ken Ham, a creation scientist from Australia. But it's called the Ark Project, and it is built according to the exact dimensions of the Bible. As you see here, it has made the news in that area, and a controversial project. In fact, many of the school children are all up in arms in that area that the parents are warning them not to take their children to see this because it might give them the wrong impression of a God who brought a flood upon the earth or an actual ark of this dimension. The ark opened there in 2014, I believe. It's been open a couple of years now. But it is built according to the size and dimensions of the ark. Noah was told to build this ark according to gopher wood, according to the exact instructions that God gave him. He says, you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Well, he's told to build this ark, and it is a huge ark. In fact, this is the largest ocean-going vessel until about the year 1850 that is known. Until around the 1850s and 1860s in England, they began to have shipping companies that were able to build steel hull ships of this size. But a box of this dimension, it is said that it would hold 522 boxcars. 522. The gross tonnage would be 1,415,000 tons. And it would be able, each boxcar would be able to hold 240 sheep. And so it could carry a total of 125,000 sheep, according to that. Of course, a sheep is an average size animal, and some are larger and some are small. But God instructed him that he was to take two of each animal in the ark. The ark was plenty large enough for that, and for Noah and his family. He goes on to tell them that he's going to bring floodwaters upon the earth. Now that is the first time that the Bible ever used the word flood. And it is not used very many times in the Bible. It is used once in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 29 and verse 10. And it says there, "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever." He would bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. God warned Noah that this was going to be a universal flood. And every indication that the Bible has tells us that this was not just a local flood. This was not just a flood that it heavily rained in that area, and it flooded out the homes and it flooded out the fields. This was a universal flood that God sent upon the earth. We see that from the fact that all earth, all life on the earth died. We see it from the height of the waters that were above the highest mountains. Mount Ararat is a height of 17,000 feet above sea level. We see it from the fact that even today when we go up into the mountains, sometimes we find seashells and other forms of remains of life that comes from the oceans. There's abundant evidence that there was a universal flood that once covered the earth. But he says in verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." Now God had given them this warning earlier and said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 that man's days would be 120 years from that time. Some have suggested that, believing that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. But that cannot be correct, I don't believe, because the Bible says that Noah lived 500 years and bore three sons when he was 500 years old. And they grew up and were married. And God here spoke about the fact that you will enter the ark with your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. So that reduces the time that maybe 50 years, maybe 60 years. We don't know the exact number of years that Noah had in order to build the ark. But earlier this year in Oak Hill, California, you may have seen the warnings of the news talking about the flooding, or the waters that were reaching near the overflowing of the Oroville Dam, which is one of the largest dams in Northern California, and all the heavy rains that we were having back there during January and February. And they were concerned that the dam was possibly going to break. And so they evacuated 200,000 people from all of these communities that are there below the dam, which was not an unreasonable thing. I mean, that was, as it turned out, within a few days, the waters subsided a little bit. They were able to drain off the pressure, and that disaster was averted. But everyone remembers that in 1889, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, what happened. And in May of 1889, the dam there on the Conahaw Dam, that is outside of the town of Johnstown, it broke. The dam, the levee of the dam broke, and it released the floodwaters, and a wall of 30 feet high and half a mile wide swept through the town of Johnstown, and 2,200 people died in that disaster. And that was the worst natural disaster in America up until the 1970s, I believe it was, the Johnstown flood. And it can do tremendous devastation. The power of water that is out of control, breaking over the dam. But nevertheless, God was warning Noah of a universal flood that was coming. And the thing that is important for us to understand about Noah is what is said in verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now, how did he do it? How did Noah build that ark? And he had three sons to help him. But what an amazing feat. How did he do it? And yet the Bible says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Noah obeyed God. He listened to the word of God. He did what God commanded him to do. Everything that God commanded him to do. Hebrews says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. See, there had never been a flood on the earth. May have never been rain on the earth. The Bible says in the first few chapters of Genesis that the earth was watered. There was a mist that went up from the earth. We don't know if there had even been any rain before. There had never been a flood like this. Noah was living somewhere in the plains of Iraq or that part of the world of Assyria, near Mount Ararat perhaps. But it is far from the ocean, far from the sea. It is on a level plain, and yet nothing like this had ever happened. But he built the ark according to what God said. He obeyed God's word. He built a massive ark because God told him to do it. The people around him had never seen a flood. The people of his day were not concerned about the coming of the judgment. He warned them of the coming of the judgment. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 that God did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. The Bible also says in Matthew 24 and verse 37 that Noah was alone in this. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. What this is telling us is that Noah was warning the people, Noah was preaching, Noah was building the ark. And it says here in Hebrews, verse 7, that he condemned the world by his faith, by his actions. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world. Noah was out there building the ark. And the people may have been scoffing and mocking and ignoring what he was doing. And yet, Noah was going ahead with his work. And he was preaching and he was warning people and he was trying to let them know. But they weren't concerned. They were going about their life. They were eating and drinking, marrying, getting in marriage till the day that the flood came. Noah, though, and his family, his legacy remains that he prepared the ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. He became an heir of righteousness. He became one of the heroes of faith that we still talk about, that we remember the example of Noah. He was effective with his family. His family was saved in the ark. Just 8 people. The Bible says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man, perfect in his generations. And in Genesis 7 and verse 1, it said, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" Noah and his family went into the ark 7 days. All the animals came into the ark. The Bible said that God, they would come to him. He didn't have to go out and round up all the animals. It said, "Every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring 2 of every sort. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing after its kind, 2 of every kind will come to you to keep them alive." So the animals came into the ark. Noah and his family came into the ark, closed the door. 7 days later, the rains began. But Noah and his family were saved because what it says there in verse 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him." So he did. That is a life of faith. That is how you live your life, by faith. You listen to what God says, you believe it, and you act upon it. You do what God tells you to do, and God will count you among those who are righteous. And so as we live our lives today, we know that Jesus has come, and He is the great Son of God. Are we living our lives by faith in Him? Do we trust Him? Do we believe that God exists? That He rewards those who diligently seek Him. And so today we encourage you, each one of us, to be people of faith, to walk by faith, to walk close with God, to seek to live a life of godliness in a world of ungodliness. Live your life in accordance with the will of God. God will see you. God will not overlook your life that is lived in accordance with His will. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If you're here this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.